The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." And when they had brought their boats to the land, they left everything and followed him. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and may we be guided by the power of the Holy Spirit this day and always. Amen. I'm literally falling apart. But that's okay. I've got a few words to say today, and we'll see how long the voice lasts and all these kind of things. I didn't quite get to hear all the announcements, but if you came in late, Dave is going to be distributing the wine to you today in my place. So thank you, Dave, and Peggy, and Ron, and whoever else is helping out today. I appreciate your work there. So in the passage we're looking at today, it's Luke 5, and a great question to always ask yourself when you see Jesus at work in a passage is to ask, what is Jesus up to? Valid question, I think. And this is a solid question for us to find the point of what Jesus is making during particular moments. In the first four verses of Luke 5, Jesus keeps on preaching the good news of life that he said he would keep on sharing. Then after his message, and we're not exactly sure what that message was, it probably was a parable, and a parable of abundance we see in Matthew, but it was probably a parable. But after that message, Jesus' task is not complete. While out on Simon's boat, Jesus uses the opportunity to touch Simon Peter directly. So Jesus takes time to be with one of his own. Jesus has shared the word of God, and now he spends time with his own, with Simon Peter. "Put out into the deep water," Jesus says. "Let down your nets for a catch." And here Peter answers in a manner that I don't think is so much a complaint as it is a response of trust. "Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." How many of us said that to our parents growing up? "Because you said so, I'll eat my veggies. I'll take out the garbage. I'll clean my room." Probably not so many of us. But we can hear our parents saying, "Because I say so," demanding a response from us, can't we? Jesus is not drawing his line in the sand as a parent may do. He is saying, it's time for a catch. Then they caught so many fish that they filled up two big boats. Another amazing miracle of Jesus. And even more than that, he says, Peter, it's time for a catch. Peter then realized that he was in God's earthly presence as he sees Jesus. Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. A sinful person surely can't stand in the presence of God, can they? And Peter felt unworthy. Jesus then says those famous words we've heard many times. Do not be afraid. Jesus adds, from now on, you will catch men. And Jesus does what he does. He preaches. He was preaching as he got into that boat. He challenges. He challenged Peter to do something. He provides. He gave a great provision, didn't he, with all the fish? He comforts. He says, don't be afraid. And then he calls. I'm going to send you out to be a fisher of men. So when you see passages like this, I want you to kind of break down and see what Jesus is doing. Look at the passage carefully. Break it down into a few verses and consider what's Jesus doing in these first few verses. Okay, what's he doing now? What's he doing now? So as we look at this passage, we see he was preaching, giving and sharing the good news as he said he would. He challenges, certainly. You ever get challenged by the Lord, anybody? He provides. Anyone ever get provided by? From the Lord. He comforts and he calls or sends. Now, I know a lot of you know this quote, and probably I won't ask you if you believe it to be a biblical quote or not, but it's actually attributed to Christine Kane. God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. I think you've heard that phrase and might have thought it was in your Bible, but you can understand that it's pretty strong, and you see that throughout the Bible. There's a lot of folks who are not qualified who get called. Abraham. Moses. Moses killed somebody. That doesn't seem like a godly qualification, does it? Peter here is being called. He's kind of a weak fisherman. And God calls people throughout the Bible, unlikely heroes, a little boy to slay the great giant. Unlikely heroes whom God calls. And so here we see the fisherman. The unqualified is called. Jesus puts unlikely characters into place to share his story. For we who believe we have been caught by a fisherman like Peter. How many of you remember your pastor growing up? Most of you probably do or should. Maybe you came to church later in life. For me, I remember Pastor Hill. And his little microphone thing was white. I thought that was so neat. I don't know why that was interesting, but for me as a kid, that was an interesting thing. And there were other fishermen who caught me. Pastor Prohl and Pastor James, Pastor Hufford, and Pastor Hudson. Oh, and yes, Pastor John Lohman and some others. Faithful pastors who told us the story of the one Jesus who preaches, who challenges, who provides, who comforts, and who calls. The Lord has placed these servants into our paths so that we would be as Peter and say, I am sinful and I need you, Jesus. What does Jesus do? He forgives, doesn't he? And then I've got two words here. Gospelly goodness. Anybody want to share some gospelly goodness with me? How you have had the Lord work for you so that you can see his preaching, his challenging, his providing, his comforting, and his calling. Each one of us has a story, don't we? We have pastors and teachers and Sunday school teachers and different people along the way who have connected us to Jesus, to his gospelly goodness, which is even better than the fantastic fellowship hour that we have after church every time. His gospelly goodness is something that lasts forever and ever. Jesus' gospelly goodness is the salvation that even though we're sinful people, even though we're broken, even though we don't always do right, we're still loved. We're loved. We're loved by that one Jesus who spends time with us and says, you know what, try throwing your net on the other side. Do something a little bit different. Change it up. Persevere. Keep on. Fight hard. Live strong. Know I'm with you. Don't be afraid. I will give you a provision that's beyond what you could have ever imagined. Your boats are going to sink. Not just your boat, Peter, but your buddy's boat too. With all the provisions, all the gifts, all the blessings that we have been given. Blessings of heaven, blessings of forgiveness, blessings of life forever, blessings of healing. I'll take a little bit of extra blessing on that one right now. And we pray every week for people that we want to be blessed with Jesus' healing. Whatever it is that you can think of that is good, that honors God, is given by him. The provider, the preacher, the challenger, the comforter, the one who calls. The gospel goodness, as you well know, is that truly we didn't deserve any of this. But because of Jesus' rich love, he died for us. He was raised to life for us, that we would live forever in his name and in his presence. And what a blessing that gospel goodness is. Well, we recall another fishing event. I don't know if you remember. This happens to be right after Jesus had died and now he's raised to life. Their nets are overflowing with blessing once again. They'd eaten their breakfast. Jesus kept asking Peter, do you love me? Peter kept saying, yes, Lord. You know I love you. And Jesus reinstates Peter for service. He forgives him for denying him. And Jesus qualifies Peter. And Jesus says it once again. Follow me. Follow me. And to us, Jesus comforts. And he says, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. Follow me. Jesus qualifies you for service. And he says, I'll be with you. I'll give you the supplies you need. I'll give you the words. Great things will happen in my kingdom because of you. That's all right, isn't it? The Lord is good. He is good indeed. And he blesses us beyond all blessing, especially with our forgiveness, washing us clean so that we can go and share a message of hope to a world in need. Amen. Peace, love, grace, and faith be yours from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May all glory be to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.